Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Now, I am not reintroducing the idea of purgatory. But on the other hand, I do believe the baby was thrown out with the bathwater. With that came a belief, when you die, you're instantaneously and magically made perfect.
The soul of someone who dies immediately goes into eternity. There is no place where you make up for your sins. There is no purgatory. In the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It is Witness Wednesday, and I am getting out of my car at Georgia Tech. There's this guy just sitting there studying who just, he's holding up a flare as if to say, please come and witness to me. Now, here's what we'll do. I'll just go talk to him if I get shut down, which I might, because it looks like he could be studying. The kids at Georgia Tech actually overall seem to want to get to their classes. When you go to a different, people in Georgia say that Georgia Tech, they tend to be more serious here. Well, possibly because of the type of fields of study that they're in. It just seems that they actually want to get to class. They actually want to learn. I've been shut down a few times. Normally, when you go to a state university, hey, could you talk to me for a minute? No, I'll give you all afternoon, man. Then I don't have to go to class. And they seem more than happy to not go to class so that they can't get their money's worth, which I think this is the only arena where people don't want to get their money's worth, the kids these days, with spending mom and dad's money. All right, this guy might shut me down, so let's just see if we can have a chat with him. And hey, dude. Hey, man, chat with you just for a moment. I don't want to interrupt your schoolwork here.
Yeah.
You got just a minute? Cool. I got to ask you, what are you studying here, dude?
I'm studying physics.
Ugh. Tell me something. Teach me one thing about physics that a knucklehead like me can grasp.
One thing about physics.
Something cool that I could actually apply to my life. I'm an average Joe. What could I use?
Well, right now I'm studying circuits and stuff like that, and just how electrons travel in circuits and things like that. And really don't know how that applies to your life, but
how electrons do what in circuits?
Electrons travel in circuits, and that's what creates the current and the.
So things that, while they're traveling in a straight line, if you will, are actually traveling in circles. Is that what you're saying? Did I get that right?
No, I'm talking
hey,
about
I'm an idiot.
Electrons.
Ah,
electrons in.
I have no idea about any of this. So what are you going to do with this stuff? What's the point?
This stuff relates to all kinds of just technology, computers, and anything electrical. Think of like an electrical engineer, and he's having to make sure the building is going to be powered. And so he has to figure out, well, what kind of power supply, what kind of power from the city or whatever do I need to get this building to
run? Yeah, I'm grateful there's guys like you, because frankly, you could be speaking in Hebrew to me right now, and I could understand it more. Really, I just don't get it. Now, if you look at things like electrons, the tiny things, the things, like we're looking at that big building here, and you know, somebody walking by here in the flagpole, those are big things. Do you think that the smaller you get down, you see more intricacy and more of a reason to ask the question, did somebody make all this stuff or did it just happen by chance?
Absolutely.
Absolutely what?
Absolutely. Just seeing it almost daily, I'm just kind of blown away by some of the things that I'm learning, and it's because as you look past the surface, if like in this class, environmental engineering I'm taking right now, we're studying microbes, about the tiniest living organism in the world. And
That we know of.
That has been studied. They do all sorts of stuff I have no idea about.
And they're intricately designed.
Intricately designed. Even these tiny little organisms are able to feed, are able to carry out tasks. And that absolutely does point to a creator.
Okay.
Who
do you think the creator is?
The creator is is the master of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
He's...
Who is it? Do you believe in God?
Absolutely.
Yeah. What's your God's name?
My God's name is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. He's Almighty. He is the one that... that is the source of life, yet he has created us with a purpose. And our purpose is to have dominion on this earth and to glorify him in our...
Okay, so I'm getting the vibe that you're a Christian, is that right?
Yes, sir.
I'm a complete stranger.
Okay.
So why are you talking about that stuff with me? Why do you share that?
You sound interested. You sound interested in how a college student like me can go about classes and not even think about a creator. How can I look at these things that I'm learning, look at these electrons, look at these microbes that I'm learning about right now, and not even question, well, where does
this
come from?
All right, so... You don't know me or what I am, all right? And you just said that you're a Christian. Tell me in a sentence, why should I consider being a Christian too?
Because without Christ... You have no end goal. You have no purpose. You have no hope for a life that simply ends on this earth. You have no hope for...
If I'm not a Christian, what's going to happen to me when I die? Why do I even care?
If you're living your life thinking that this is all you've got... And you're just going to live it to the fullest and have a great time. You're missing out you're missing it all.
I'm missing what? Let's say I'm having a great time. I am having a great time. It's good. It's sweet. Yeah. So what am I missing?
You're missing an eternity being with the one being who loves you more than anybody you've met. You're missing an eternity.
I don't know who you're talking about, so I frankly don't care. Yeah.
Well then, if you're living for today, if you're living for this life, then what you can look forward to is an eternity of torture, an eternity of...
Well, this just suddenly got very severe. Why would I be tortured for all of eternity?
Because you, sir, have sinned against the master of the universe that we've been talking about.
Okay, it's Mr. Sir to you. Second of all, what do you mean I've sinned, and what does he care? What's the big deal?
This being that we've been talking about, whoever he is, he's created Adam and Eve. Maybe you've heard of them, maybe you haven't. But he created them as perfect beings.
Okay, so you're one of those fundamentalist, literalist kind of guys, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
You are. So you're putting your hope in a 2,000-year-old book, is that right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And you think others should, because if they don't, they're going to hell.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. Now, you know that is a very intolerant message, correct?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you're willing to tell that to me, a complete stranger. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Why?
Because being a Christian isn't about being tolerant. As I believe, being a Christian is about persuading others about the God that loves and cares for a people that has sinned, has wronged, has not lived up to his measure.
Let me ask you a question. Do you ever listen to Christian radio and Christian preachers?
Christian radio, not so much. I just because I don't listen to the radio much, but Christian preachers, yeah.
Yeah, like whom? Any big famous ones that I might know?
I don't know any off the top of my head.
Just curious. Where do you go to church?
Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What kind of church is that?
It's a non-denominational church, meaning just we're not a part of any of the big, like, Baptist or Presbyterian or some of those Christian denominations you might have heard of. But
are you one of those churches that puts on plays and dramas, or do you just do more Bible teaching?
Mostly straight from the Scripture. Bible teaching.
All right. Young man, so, thank you for your time. What's your name?
Nathan Mead.
Nathan, it's nice to meet you. Do you know what your name means?
It means a gift from God.
That's right. All right, dude. Thanks for the chat.
Yep.
All righty. All right. So much for that question we were going to ask. We'll do it next. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. What does $28 buy these days? Well, for starters, it buys an ultrasound. More importantly, it buys a life.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind, but seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
That is one grateful mommy, and I'm certain it will be one grateful baby who was given life because you provided a free ultrasound through preborn.org/wretched. $28 will provide an ultrasound 80% of the time. A mommy who is choosing the termination of her own child will choose life. Will you please consider supporting this very efficient and life-saving ministry that preaches the gospel? Preborn.org/wretched.
Thank you so much for listening today to Wretched Radio. We love hearing from each and every one of you, whether you send us an email at idea@wretched.org or you leave us a voicemail on Beep Talk at 1-877-282-BEEP. Let me share one of our most recent notes with you. Hey, Wretched, thanks for all the work you do. You have helped my husband and I gain a wider spectrum of resources we can trust and utilize in our personal lives. God bless you, Wretched team. Thanks to our gospel partners, stories like these are possible. After taking care of your family obligations and supporting your local church, if you're able to join us as a gospel partner, we would be grateful for your support. We ask that you prayerfully consider becoming a monthly partner, and you can know that your faithful and consistent support will help reach millions of people all over the world. In fact, 83% of every single dollar you give goes directly to ministry. Visit wretched.org/donate for all of the details. That's wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
And now, a message from our brothers and sisters in China.
If I have 1 minute for American brothers and sisters, I just beg them to pray for the supply of the Bibles. And God will open the door for the Chinese people to hear the love of Christ.
The government of China tightening the screws, doing everything that they can to eradicate Christianity from their communist regime. Our brothers and sisters, they have a prayer. It is not that the persecution would stop. It is that they would receive the word of God. There are a paucity of Bibles in China, and we can change that and provide the word of God for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, not just in China, but around the globe. Bible League International, $5 per Bible. Will you answer their prayer? Wretched.org/Bible.
Mexican. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sufficiency. The Bible tells us everything we need to know about God. Salvation, doctrine, and life. We do not need any additional revelation to know who God is and what He requires of us. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Huh? How's about them apples, huh? Found a kid on the campus who could articulate his faith pretty well. This is Wretched Radio. It is Witness Wednesday. I am at Georgia Tech. Nathan, the young man that we just talked to, who goes to a Bible church, basically had the fundamentals there, had the foundational stuff there. And so we just chatted during the break about the importance of helping people understand up front that they're sinners by using the law as a mirror so that we can understand our problem and the solution, so that when they do understand Jesus, then, like he said, they understand, wow, there is somebody who loves us better, more than anybody has ever loved us before. How's about that? It's nice to hear once in a while, isn't it? Wish you could see what I'm seeing right now. Okay, so there's two guys who are completely sacked out and laying down, and there's three guys who are actually awake. This is always a little tricky doing this, but we're going to give it a go anyway. All right, hey, gentlemen, I want to ask you some questions while you're sitting here. Is that okay? Are these your friends that are sacked out over here?
Yeah.
Yeah, why are they so tired? They're adults, and it's the middle of the day.
I don't know. I went to bed the same time they did.
What time did you go to bed last night?
What time did I go to bed last night? One-ish.
One-ish. Yeah. They should be wide awake, and they're sleeping here out in the middle of
nowhere.
They
got up later than I did, too. Dang it.
Lazy dogs.
Indeed.
What are you studying here, young man?
Electrical engineering.
Ooh. All right. What are you studying? Sir, what are you studying?
Management.
Management. What do you want to manage?
I will actually be working in ministry.
Religious stuff?
Yes.
Ministry. I don't expect to hear from ministry people here.
Not many people do.
So there's a field here for that?
No.
No. So, clue me in here, minister.
To be in ministry, you don't really need to go to a religious school for your undergrad. You can go to a seminary, a grad school, and learn everything you need to know.
Uh-huh.
So working with a management degree, that'll help me run a church someday or whatever organization I work in. And so here, I study management for whatever I need in the future, and I'll go to grad school and learn all that later.
Managing. So you're taking classes just to learn how to manage an organization, and a church is an organization, and you're learning how to run it.
Yes.
Uh-huh. All right. So what kind of, you're a Christian, is that right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And these guys, are they Christians?
Yes.
Really? How do you know this?
Well, I met them all at CCF, Christian Campus Fellowship.
Interesting.
On campus.
All right. And are these people Christians behind us too?
Yes.
They are. Wow. Look what I just walked into. All right. I'm going to give you guys 30 to 60 seconds to convert me. Go, minister.
I think you really can't really do it in that long. It takes more of an attitude and realizing God's love in your life and not just an argument for argument's sake.
Give it your best shot. You got 45 left.
Oh, I mean, I'm not going to squeeze it all down into 45 seconds because it's a little more complicated than that.
All right. Give me what you got in 30 seconds now.
God loves you.
Okay.
And everybody wants love, so he's the only unconditional love you can find.
My wife loves me. My kids love me. My dog loves me most of the time.
If you don't feed your dog's going to get angry. If you get mad at your kids are going to be upset. If you cheat on your wife, she's going to be a little angry.
Well, I don't plan on doing any of those things, so I'm okay with the love department.
But still, if you don't plan on it, things happen. But no matter what happens, God will still love you.
Okay, so I'm going to paraphrase. So I've known loving, but I haven't known love until I become a Christian.
You haven't known true love and the truth of God until you... It's not that you're a Christian, it's that you know God's love. Christianity is a relationship, not a religion.
Okay, so, all right, I want to give this guy... What are you studying, electrical engineering, is that right? Yeah, all right, convert me.
Well, I guess to me, the big thing is, you know, we got all this out here.
Yeah?
And, you know, everything. Look at it. Imagine all this just somehow popping up. That doesn't happen, I guess.
You're a creationist.
Yeah.
So you're trying to prove the existence of God to me. Is that what you're trying to do?
Not necessarily prove, but I guess this had to come from somewhere. You can't prove God.
All right, so I'll give you there's a creator. I want to argue Big Bang cosmology, but let's go with this whole creator idea.
Okay,
so why should I become a Christian?
I guess it's civil to me, I guess it's I've seen in my life, since I started becoming more active with church, and I just became exposed to Jesus and God, I feel like my life has been more whole. I feel like, you know, my life is more complete. Everything's going
better. You had a God-shaped hole in your heart.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah. And Christianity filled it up.
Yeah.
I don't have one of those holes.
I guess sometimes you don't notice it until you've got something there.
All right.
And then you realize... Hey, I was missing out on this.
All right. Okay. Now, are you a Christian, young man? Can you give it a good go to try to convert me to Christianity? Come on. You got 30 to 60 seconds, and then we'll get Sleepyhead over here. Why should I become a Christian?
Oh.
What's your bracelet say, by the way?
Reach today.
What does that mean?
That one is for childhood cancer, specifically leukemia.
Reach the day.
Yes, what reach is the day that...
When there's no cancer.
When we have the cure and the children don't have to suffer anymore. Yeah. I have a very good friend who's an amazing cellist and was diagnosed with cancer last year.
That's a drag.
Recovering.
Good. So not carpe diem. Reach the day.
Right.
And never give up is your other one.
Never give up. That one is for ALS. One of my dad's good friends died of it.
Yikes. Okay, so Christian, there's a lot of bad stuff going on in this world. I'm not sure I want your loving God.
You're not sure you want the love?
Yeah. Doesn't sound very loving to me.
I don't know. I need the love because I see the pain in this world, and I definitely feel it. And
explain the pain. Why is there pain?
Why is there pain? Because... when God gave us free will, we chose to kind of throw it back in his face and go against what God wanted. And
so he said that we were created. Why did he create us if he knew all this bad stuff would happen?
Because even before he had created us, he loved us and knew that we would benefit from a relationship with him.
Uh-huh. All right. So why would I benefit from a relationship with him?
Because he is the perfect, almighty, all-loving God, and any relationship with that is something unlike anything else.
Uh-huh. So this love thing is kind of a repeated theme here.
Yes.
Uh-huh. What is love?
What is love? God is love.
Mm-hmm.
Love is...
Uh-huh. And how do I know that? How does he show his love?
He shows his love through people, through his creation.
How does he demonstrate his love?
Demonstrate it through the actions of others, through our perceptions, through our experiences.
All right, young man. Sit tight for just a moment. All right, ministry student, I got a question for you. All right, I just asked a very leading question. All right? How does God demonstrate his love? Can you tell me?
Well, he sent his son to die for us.
I'm sorry, this is a new blast of information.
Jesus.
Yeah?
He is God's son.
Uh-huh.
God become flesh. 100% man, 100% God.
Uh-huh.
And that is like his part of God on earth.
Yeah.
And he sent him here to die for our sins. Like, in the old Jewish laws, they had to sacrifice lambs to purify their sins for the past year. But God sent Jesus to be the ultimate sacrifice because he was perfect. He was eternally pure. And he lived a human life without sinning.
Uh-huh.
And so when he died on the cross, that was the ultimate act of love. That was God saying, I don't want this barrier of sin between us anymore. I want to get rid of that. So I'm sending my son to die for you guys.
Uh-huh. Now that's interesting information. That sounds very loving. What you just said to me is God died for me, a sinner.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And why didn't you bring that up in the beginning? That's an important chunk of information.
Well, because it all starts with love. And you got to have some background, and you gave me 30 seconds.
All right. But so what's the background?
The background is that God cares about you and he loves you.
And what happens if I don't have this sacrifice? What happens to me?
Well, then you haven't paid for your sins, and you'll go to hell.
So the background is I'm a sinner. Is that what you're saying?
Everybody's a sinner.
Okay. So maybe if you'd shared that with me up front and then told me about this Jesus business, it might have made more sense to me.
If you feel that way?
Well, I mean, kind of. I'm just thinking it through logically. Tundra, everybody here has been talking about love. God is love, love, love. But nobody really explained what it was all about. See, I can get love from my wife, my kids, and my dog. But the type of love you're talking about is something completely different that a human being or a pet can't provide.
True.
Yeah. So maybe in like 60 seconds or less, it would be something like, you're a sinner, God's angry at sinners, but he's good and he's kind, and to provide a sacrifice, a payment for your sins, he sent his son, die on a cross, rise from the dead, and if you'll respond by repenting and putting your trust in him, your sins will be forgiven and God will grant you everlasting life. It's the most loving thing that anybody's ever done.
That is a very good short explanation, but I would not claim that God is angry at us because we're sinners.
Really?
Yes. God is pure, and he can't be with things that aren't pure. And
why not?
We are sinners because he's completely pure.
Yeah. And doesn't that same text really talk about that God's angry at the wicked every day?
He becomes angry when people turn, when people deny him and turn away from him and are provided
okay, if I'm not a Christian, I'm turned from him, aren't I?
Yes.
Yeah. And isn't the cup of God's wrath being filled up because we sin all the time? And when he returns, he's going to pour out his anger and his wrath?
Yes.
Yeah, so he is angry.
Yes, but his love is more powerful than his anger.
Well, that could be. But he's definitely angry, right?
Right.
At sinners.
But what he did first was his love and send Jesus.
Okay. But first, I was a sinner, right?
Mm-hmm. Jesus. Everybody has always been sinners.
Okay. And God is angry at sinners, but God is good and he's kind and he sent his son. So that order would help me understand things, right?
Right.
All right. Thanks very much for the lesson. I appreciate it very much.
No problem.
All right, young man. Thanks very much. The Bible says, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. Were they prepared? Are you? We're at Georgia Tech. It's Witness Wednesday.
Books of the Bible. Jude was the brother of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote an epistle to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. He contends for the faith with a passionate and vehement attack against false teachers. When you want to know God's concern for the truth, Jude has 25 intense verses just for you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
During the break, I had a chance. There's now about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 Christians. All Christians sitting there who, in the last little segment, if you heard, talked about God's love, but really weren't able to explain it to me until I dug and dug and dug, and we got to this whole sinner idea. And I led them with a leading question that God demonstrates his love by dying for us while we are yet sinning. Now, we've got to make sure, starting with ourselves, that if some knucklehead with a microphone walks up to us, that we can articulate that. And we want to make sure that our kids can understand that. This is another great example. Now, I'm not judging any of these kids individually. I'll bet you half of them, at least, probably aren't saved. Because if you can't articulate the gospel in some sort of way, shape, or form, Something's wrong. There's a good chance that you don't know what the gospel is. And I'm not talking about the kids that I was talking about. It could be that they just needed an explanation. That is a possibility, and we're not judging them and throwing out the tares with the wheat or the wheat with the tares. But there are so many people in this country who profess the name of Jesus Christ and are absolutely clueless. And chances are, it's with that gang because they would be the exception rather than the rule. All right, now there's four young people sitting here eating food on the steps in the middle of Georgia Tech. They seem to be a little intense in a conversation, but we'll see if we can interrupt it anyway. Lady and gentlemen, could I interrupt you for just a moment while you're eating your smorgasbord here? Can I interrupt for a second?
Sure.
Dude, what are you studying here?
Aerospace.
I don't know what that means.
Helicopters.
Oh, specifically. Cool. Here's the only thing I know about helicopters. If you don't have that little propeller in the back, the thing goes spinning all over the place.
Yep.
Teach me something else about helicopters. Give me something cool so I can impress my friends.
They're noisy. Trying to make them less
okay.
noisy.
Look, I can hear one right now. I can't even see it in the sky. I can hear it. Yes, I know they're noisy. Give me something cool. Come on.
Helicopters aren't cool, though.
They're very cool. Give me something informationally that's... They were created by, or that somebody invented them by mistake, or what's the history of helicopters? What does helicopter mean?
Vertical takeoff. Save more people than anything else.
No, really? Now we're getting warm.
Here's the old story. If you're crash-landed on a cliff, an airplane can fly over you and drop, flowers on your grave. A helicopter can come and actually pick you up and save you.
Okay, I can live with that. All right, and why do you want to study helicopters? What do you want to do with them? Repair them? Fix them? Military?
No,
Air
design
Force?
Design new ones, military.
Really? Cool.
Kill people.
To kill people. That's a lovely thought right there. Do you ever think it's right to kill people? Really? Wow, aren't you a bold one? When would be a right time to kill somebody?
I don't know.
No, you're doing fine. You put your foot in the water.
I don't think it's right to kill anyone. Well, in war,
So if it's just, it's okay to kill.
You can't prevent it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about...
Okay, what if they're going to kill you? What are you going to do?
Duck. What about criminals? Ever right to kill a criminal?
No, they're being punished in jail.
All right. So that's their penalty, mm-hmm. is that. Not death, though.
No.
Okay, why not? You'd kill a soldier, but you wouldn't kill a criminal?
Well, I wouldn't kill a soldier.
Philosophically. Okay, what about the life issue? What about the whole abortion business? What about that? Is it okay to end the life of a baby?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. So you are you're pro-life?
Yes.
Uh-huh. What about mm-hmm. you, young man?
Pro-life.
Pro-life, really? And what about you?
No comment.
Uh-huh. What about you, young man?
Pro-life.
Okay, I'm on a university campus, and 3 out of 4, are you just feeling a little shy because you're surrounded here by three of those pro-life fundamentalist wing nuts?
Absolutely not. It's not a clear-cut issue between pro-life and pro-choice. That's what I think. So right. I don't want to label one or the other because that's ambiguous to me.
All right. What's the fuzzy part?
Situations, specific situations, incest, things like that, rape, any kind of situation where, you know, that there may be a problem or whatever. I mean,
okay.
I don't know.
I'm going to give a scenario to you. Let's see if your logic works. All right? I'm standing here right now. Life is good. The sun is shining in my face. I'm a little hungry. I'm a little covetous of your whatever that is.
Rice, pork, and tomato sauce.
I'm not so covetous anymore. But I'm a little hungry, but otherwise life is sweet. All right? What am I?
You're a human being.
There you go. Okay. Oops, I slipped. I banged my shin. Whew, I'm going to get a goose egg on my shin. I am in a lot of pain. My situation has changed. It's no longer good. What am I?
A human being in pain.
All right. A human being in pain, but I'm still a human being, right?
That's right.
So that thing that's inside of a woman, just because circumstances change, what is it?
It's a human being.
Aha. Uh-huh. So what helps you make the decision is not what it is, but what the circumstances are?
No. So what about the circumstances when it's incestual?
Yeah, that gets pretty ugly, doesn't it?
Okay.
That's kind of...
That's what I don't like about just the pro-life, pro-choice is you don't have... You know, there are situations where you can say, like, look, the child might be born with no brain or something like that because it's an incest or a father
let's
raping a daughter.
Let's take one at a time because you're right. Bringing up those scenarios, they're quite rare, but they do happen. So here's the question. Disgusting uncle rapes the 12-year-old niece. Horrible scenario, right? Right? Would you agree? Yes, yeah. We're all in agreement. Vulgar and disgusting. Here's the question. What is it that's inside of that girl?
It's still a human.
Right. Right. So no matter how it gets there, or what the circumstances are, or what its potential are in life financially or culturally, it's still a human being. And so wouldn't the fundamental question be, and it's rather black and white, if it's a human being, if we know that, then we're pro-life.
Well, I mean, what about medically?
Yeah, that they've maybe got some special needs?
Like it has to be on life support.
And that's a very good question also.
Have conscience, and it's never awake.
Okay.
I mean, are you a human if you're not awake?
Well, that gets kind of interesting too, but let's take one at a time. If you visit a hospital, you're going to find a lot of people hooked up to machines. What are they?
They're humans hooked up to machines.
There you go.
Okay.
So they're just babies hooked up to machines.
What if they're machines that are supporting the people? Is it more of a machine or more of a person?
That's a good question. That's a good question, too.
Let's just address that you're not awake.
Yeah. Well, that gets it. That gets into end of life issues. But what we're kind of creating right now are some pretty exceptional, pretty rare. The guiding principle should be it's a human being, so the desire is for life, not for death. That's the guiding principle.
I have no problem with the pro-life position. That's fine. I'm just saying that, for me, it's not clear-cut.
Well, in a lot of the cases that you...
Some medical reason to terminate a pregnancy. That's all I'm saying.
What would be one good reason?
We just went through it.
Okay, but it's still a human being, right? Okay, what's your IQ?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm going to give you a 138.
All right. Okay.
I'm a 4, give or take. Okay. I am not nearly as smart as you. My brain doesn't work nearly well as you. You wouldn't kill me, though, would you?
Because
I'm a human being.
Me personally? No.
Right. Because I'm a human being. And just because I'm not as smart or I don't have as many abilities as you, I'm still a person.
Just because you're a human being. I mean, I wouldn't kill a dog or a cat either.
Okay.
Or a chimpanzee or an orangutan or any other. No.
Right, but the point is, what you're describing is you think that maybe they have a less, I don't want to say valuable, but a less fulfilling life, so maybe their life should be terminated. But that shouldn't be a criteria, because the question is, what is it?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like you're coming from another perspective than me, so I don't know if I'll...
Well, I'm trying to reason with you, because it's some of the things that you've presented, which are fair, I think, and reasonable. I think we could categorize as saying one is it's about development, level of development is one of the categories that you've described. And what I tried to respond with is I'm not as developed as you are mentally, maybe financially, but you don't kill me because I'm not as developed. And just because a baby isn't as developed as another doesn't mean we kill it.
Well, that, okay. I mean, I concede that there are situations like that, sure, that you wouldn't be justified. I'm not going to make the decision on whether or not that's not for me to my decision. My feeling, personal feelings, should not be make the decision for others.
Here, tell me what you think of this thought. Okay, I would make the statement: it's never, ever, ever, ever right to kill a baby with an abortion, ever, because that would be murder. It would be making a decision on what is a valuable life based on circumstances or location or level of development, as opposed to intrinsically what it is. Now, should it be the rare situation when the mother's life is in danger? I would still say abortion is wrong, but I would say do everything you need to do to save the mother's life, and if that means the baby's life is ended, we weep over that. But our guiding principle is to save the life of the mother, but we never want to abort because that's ending the life of a human being. What do you think of that?
That
works for you?
That works for me.
Look at that, how we came to that agreement.
That's what I was trying to say. You
terrific.
Know?
I'm a little slow. See, I'm at about a 4, and you're 100, and what did I say?
38, I believe.
See, you are smarter than I am. All right. Gentlemen, thanks for the chat. I appreciate it very much. All right. You're the quiet one, aren't you? Yeah?
Sometimes.
Yeah, what'd you think of that little exchange there?
That's what I believe, what you just said.
All right, dude. Yeah. Hey, thank you. But are you guys religious or something?
Well, I don't like to use the term religious, but I'm a Christian, yeah.
Ah, okay. Thanks very much for the chat. All right, appreciate it. Okay, two mysteries that will need to be solved. What are all these Christians doing here at Georgia Tech? And will we ever get to answering that dopey question? It's Witness Wednesday at Georgia Tech.
Don't you just hate it when somebody says, oh, you got to see this video? Well, then prepare to hate this because, oh, you got to see this video. I'm looking at poor people in Eastern Europe receiving care packages from the Tomorrow Clubs. You're familiar with this amazing ministry in Eastern Europe in poor nations. They bring the gospel to little teeny tiny villages, can hardly call them towns. The kids gather, they get loved on, they get treats, and they get the gospel. But now, due to the COVID pandemic, poor people are even poorer. The Tomorrow Clubs are responding in tangible acts of kindness, putting together care packages to bring to the parents of these kids, and with it, they're bringing the gospel. Would you please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, see the work that they're doing, and consider supporting the effort to bring the gospel to Eastern Europe, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
You know someone, I know someone, we all know someone, because suicide is an epidemic. Every year, 1 million people take their own lives. It's actually the third leading cause of death among millennials. So we all know someone who is in desperate need of help. As Christians, we have the answers that the world fails to provide. 13 Reasons Why You Should Not Commit Suicide is Wretched's newest resource, and it tackles this very topic. As Christians, we have the word of life, so let's share it with the world that desperately needs it. And you can help us to do that by partnering with Wretched to help save the lost. The more you give, the more we're able to give away. Wretched relies on the kindness and generosity of God's people. Our goal is to preach the gospel, to equip people to preach the gospel, and to strengthen the local church. You can become a monthly partner with our ministry today and know that 83% of every dollar you give goes right to ministry. Get all of the details right now on becoming a gospel partner at wretched.org/donate.
Just when you think that this organization can't be any more fine, the Masters Academy International, This is a ministry worthy of your consideration and support. Training indigenous pastors now in 17 nations around the globe to efficiently equip men who speak the language, know their communities, know the culture, to rightly divide the word of truth and fill empty pulpits. It is brilliant, it is wise, and it is efficient. Please consider supporting the Masters Academy International, wretched.org/pastor. But if that doesn't persuade you, they're dedicating a week of prayer and they're inviting you to join them in praying for indigenous pastors who are under a great deal of pressure and even threats. Please give your consideration to the Masters Academy International at wretched.org/pastor.
Know your church fathers. Theophilus of Antioch lived a pagan lifestyle until he was converted by reading the scriptures. His most notable work, Apology, was written to an unbelieving friend to show that the scriptures were self-authenticating and argued that the antiquity, clarity, and consistency of the scriptures prove their divine origin. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
There's a young man sitting on these steps here eating a... what is that? A tofu burrito. Dude, those are two words that shouldn't go together, but that's just my opinion. Can I talk to you for a minute while you're eating your tofu burrito?
Sure.
All right, dude. What's your first name?
Nathan.
Actually, that looks pretty decent.
You want to buy it?
Nah, it doesn't look that decent.
Good for you.
Frankly, and I'm a bit of a germaphobe. It's nothing personal.
Germs?
Yeah, germs.
Well, you know, you need tofu then to help kill all the bacteria and toxins in your body.
Not sure that's how it works. Is that one of the elements of tofu that I'm not aware of?
Yes, it has miraculous healing powers.
It's funny, I was just talking about that. Nathan, what are you studying?
Electrical engineering.
Alrighty, what do you want to do with that?
It's just basically knowledge, understanding
of the physical world. 50 years from now, you look back on your life, you're 70 years old. Am I close?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? I could work at a carnival? All right.
Yeah.
So you're 70 years old. What did you do that you look back with this degree that you're earning right now that would make you go, I can die a happy man?
I'm not sure if I can look a year into the future, even 2 years,
fair
five
enough.
Years. 50 years is a bit difficult. You know, nothing that we can, you know, we can't plan that far in the future and be at all accurate unless it just happens to be that way. But it's, I mean, so how do I apply what I'm learning now? I think if I do something big, something good for humanity, something that helps other people and kind of makes us live more sustainably so that we can actually be around as a species in 50 years from now,
mm-hmm.
that would make me look back and say, okay, I contribute something positively to the world.
All right. I'm going to apply my circus magic act right now.
Okay.
You believe in chance, don't you?
What do you mean by chance?
That things just happen randomly. Some things happen this way, some things happen that way. But there's no God, there's no providence. Things just happen.
Well, I believe in cause and effect. And I believe in consequences.
Okay. Karma? Synchronicity.
Well, these are kind of buzzwords that don't really have a lot of intrinsic meaning. Everyone has a kind of their kind of own definition
yeah.
or interpretation of these words.
Uh-huh.
So can you be a little more specific, I guess?
Do you believe that there's any force greater than us that's guiding the affairs of man?
Greater than us?
No. Let's call that being God.
Being. Well, I'm not sure if it's a being, but there could be.
So do you believe in God?
No, I don't.
Why not?
Because I think it's just a purely man-made construct of our minds. And there's no reason, for me at least, to believe in an organized religion and to believe that there's a power structure greater than ourselves named God that watches over us and listens to prayers and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no reason to.
Okay, so nobody's ever provided for you any compelling proof.
Correct.
Right. Did you ever go to church as a kid?
No, I did not.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever studied the subject of religion?
I have, informally.
Okay. What do you know about Christianity?
What I get sort of indirectly from friends, from observation,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing.
Yeah, what is it? What's the big point of Christianity? What's the big teaching?
The big teaching. Again, I think that would vary from church to church, probably.
I think I agree with you, yeah.
The big teaching. you know, I don't know if there is a big teaching.
All right.
Well,
here, let me try to steer this a little bit, okay? In Buddhism, they try to get rid of any desires so that they can ultimately become nothing. All right. Hinduism, they carve gods and idols, and they believe in karma and reincarnation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mormonism, do good things, and maybe you'll go get your planet where you can make spirit babies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Christianity, give me a line.
Do good things and follow the word of Christ so you can get into heaven.
Okay, there you go. I want to flip that on its head for just a moment, okay. All right? I don't think that's the message of Christianity, but I think that's the message that most people perceive it to be. What you just described is something called work righteousness. Work your way to heaven. Do righteous things, and maybe God will reward you. The message of Christianity is different than that, all right? Here's the message. The message is you can't do good things. In fact, all you've done are bad things. The Bible says we're bad people. Would you agree with that?
The Old Testament, yeah.
Okay. New Testament, too. Same book. Same thing.
Okay, so that we're all fundamentally sinners.
Yes.
And we have to overcome that by faith and, I guess...
Sort of like that, but let's take it one piece at a time.
Okay.
Do you agree with the statement that we are all by nature sinful and unclean?
No.
Okay. I'm going to try to convince you otherwise.
Okay.
How old are you?
22.
22. How many lies have you told in your life?
Probably thousands.
Okay. If I told thousands of lies, what would you call me? What type of person would I be? It starts with an L, rhymes with fire. Don't overthink
this
one.
So you're steering me in the wrong direction. You wouldn't be a liar because we're not defined by...
Stop it.
One...
You told thousands of lies. You're a liar. How many things have you stolen?
Physical things.
Anything. Time from a boss, music from downloading, pens from a school, money from your parents' purse.
A few.
Okay, so what does that make you?
That makes me one slice of who I am as a whole person.
All right. Okay, a thief.
How many people have I loved? How many good deeds have I done?
All right. Right, but it's funny, though. When a criminal is before a judge, we don't think of him as a lover and a hugger. We think of him as a murderer or a criminal because he's broken
the law. That's prejudging, though.
Okay. Assuming that he's guilty, of course, and you just confessed to me that you are. All right, let's try this one. Let's try purity of mind. My job right now, I'm trying to convince you you're one of those wretched sinners, all right? How many times have you lusted today? Just sitting here, perhaps.
Lusted.
Sexual desire.
Had a sexual desire sitting here today. Zero.
Okay. Before sitting here. At all today.
Consciously or unconsciously?
Whatever.
Well, we gotta get specific here, because these...
No, you do. How many times have you lusted? This week. It's Wednesday.
Lusted. Lusted. I don't go around lusting.
Dude, you're killing me.
Well, these questions...
They're just words.
They're just words.
A girl
words.
Walks by and a thought runs through your mind, or you have fantasies in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, you answer that in the privacy of your own heart in your own time. I'll leave that between you and God, okay? But if you've done that, if you've broken that, yikes. That doesn't make you a good person.
Really?
Well, I mean... Would you like your mom to know that that's what's going on in your brain? Probably not.
I don't see anything wrong with natural impulses.
Well, natural
instincts.
Or not, that doesn't mean they're right. Somebody would say that about murder or rape, but it's wrong. So if the judge judged you, if there's a God, and he judged you, would he find you to be a good person or a bad person?
A good person.
But you just confessed to me you broke thousands of lies, stealing,
so,
lusting.
Why is that bad inherently?
Because you're a lawbreaker. You've broken God's laws.
God's laws?
Yeah.
Well, if there is no God, then how can there be God's laws? And then if there's no God, then how can he enforce them?
Let's say there is. And let's say that those are his rules.
Well, you can't convince me of this if you start from these premises, which I don't agree with.
Okay, but we're in fantasy world right now, okay?
Okay.
If there's a God, and if those are his laws,
mm-hmm.
and you knew that you were guilty of breaking his laws...
Mm-hmm.
Would he send you to heaven, or would he send you to hell?
I don't know. I don't know the mind of God.
Well, I think we got a pretty good idea what he'd do with somebody who's broken his laws.
What if he's only broken
guilty.
Them?
It's called justice. It's the right thing to do. It would be to punish you, right?
So he just looks at the bad things we've done and not the good things?
Well, it's not a balanced system.
So if you lust one time, you're going to hell automatically?
That is a very interesting question. Because it kind of raises the question, whew, that seems pretty severe. But the reason that it's so severe, it's not because the crime is so spectacular. It's the one against whom we committed the crime. Okay? Right. See, he's infinitely perfect and holy. So our offenses, while we might just think boys will be boys, he sees them as very gross violations because of his character and his nature. That's why judgment is so severe. That's why punishment is so long. Mm-hmm. That's why hell is reasonable. The one against whom we committed the crime is deeply offended, and he's infinitely perfect.
Okay.
Now, I just took you down a different road. Remember you said that Christianity was about doing good and maybe God will take you to heaven? I just took you down a different road. Here's what I tried to do with you, Nathan, to take you down the road that says you're not good, you can't please God, you don't have a shot at heaven. But God is good, and he's rich in mercy, and while he will punish lawbreakers, he desires to save people because he's a good God and he's kind. And so that he can maintain justice and demonstrate kindness, he did something to satisfy both of those demands. He sent his son, whose name is?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ, that's right, who died on a cross, took the punishment, was beaten by men, had his beard pulled out of his face, was hit with a stick, had a crown of thorns put on his head for you, so that God's wrath could be satisfied through the work of Jesus Christ. You've broken God's laws, and Jesus paid your fine. And if you will humble yourself before God, admit he's right, you're wrong, he's good, you're the sinner, you've offended him, and you're sorry, and you turn from your sins and put your trust in the Savior, God says, I will take you to heaven, not because you're a good guy who tried hard, but because you're a bad guy who failed miserably, but I'm a good God and I rescued you. That's the Christian gospel. It's a different
story. Well, in that case, count me out.
All right, dude. Enjoy your tofu. All right, mate? All right.
You too.
Thanks for the chat.
Thank you.
All right, man. Oh, don't you worry. I'll be going back to that tofu burrito. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.